Return to Camp Blood, Episode 5. Did Jason really drown when he was a boy?
Here we are, in the middle of the Webbian jungle, hunting for podcasters. The Tangent Bound Network wants to give them a free podcast and set them up, no charge, on iTunes, Stitcher, WordPress, and all the relevant social media. No need for experience or fancy equipment. If you have a computer and something to talk about, you have a podcast. Better check out TangentBoundNetwork.com, because otherwise... Oh shit, that's not a podcaster, that's Beyonce's sister. Run!
Welcome to another episode of Return to Camp Blood, the only podcast recorded on location in Jason's shack, located somewhere in the woods surrounding Camp Crystal Lake. I'm your host, Chris, joined by my fellow campers, E.
Yo, what's up, peoples?
And Eric.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
All right, so as you may have noticed, our intro is a tad bit different, and that's because we're now part of the Tangent Bound Network. There are currently over 40 shows under the Tangent Bound umbrella on topics ranging from Doctor Who to all things horror. The network also offers free podcast hosting, so whether you're a podcast listener or a future podcast host, check out TangentBoundNetwork.com for more info. So, that really wasn't supposed to be an ad, even though it totally sounds like it, but here we are.
We are where we are.
All right, so tonight I want to talk about a question that's been bothering me for a little bit now, especially while I was editing the Pamela's Tale episode, which you can find at campbloodpodcast.com/3. Something started nagging at me while I was listening back to it, but I really didn't have a clear picture of what it was until I edited our part 2 episode. So the conventional wisdom is that Jason drowned in Crystal Lake in 1957.
Which seems like a clear case.
It does. Sending Pamela into the homicidal rage that ended in her decapitation. We take for granted everything she said in that first movie as fact. But after listening back to some of the conversations we've been having and going back over the movies with an eye out for the finer details, I seriously have to ask, did Jason really drown when he was a boy? The first point that I want to discuss on this is, why was there no body recovered from the lake? It seems like, depending on how deep the lake was, they should have found something, and yet it's even said in part one that they never found his body.
So he's still there.
Yeah, he's still there.
I mean, if you think about like real world examples, it's not an uncommon occurrence for somebody to drown in a body of water and for there to never be a body recovered. So, I mean, that in and of itself is not entirely strange. However, in this case, when you think about it and, you know, just following the events of the movies in the series, it would seem that them not finding a body would be indicative of something else. I mean, whether that be that he didn't drown and got out and just nobody ever realized it happened, or maybe that, you know, it's, you know, something else like of a supernatural sort, maybe that brought him out of it. You know what I mean? You know, you go any number of directions with that.
Well, let's sort of put the supernatural element on hold for a minute, because I don't necessarily think that we have to resort to that just yet.
Understood.
You do bring up a fair point that just because they didn't find his body doesn't mean that, you know, something sneaky was going on or something strange was going on. But I feel like if you put that idea in with the rest of the body of evidence, you might come to a different conclusion about Jason actually having died.
In my opinion, I really don't think that he did. I think Pamela was just so far gone after the beating that she sustained from Elias than Jason suffering the same thing at the hands of the peers at Camp Crystal Lake. We know that he drowned in a certain part of the lake, and I mean, that's a limited amount. Yes, there are times where bodies aren't found, but that's not in a, well, you can't, it's like an ocean where stuff would eat you, presumably. I mean, I'm not a cadaver rescuer.
And plus you have like currents and stuff in the ocean, but we're talking about a lake, and presumably since he couldn't swim, he didn't swim that far past the dock. So
no.
You would think that had he actually drowned, that they would have been able to easily recover his body since it was so close to the dock.
You would think that. But, I mean, at the same time, I mean, there's, you know, even a small body of water, like, you know, you see Camp Crystal Lake in the movie, and it's a relatively, you know, comparatively a small body of water. But even still, it's going to have currents and stuff. And, you know, he could have, you know, been underwater to the point where he passed out and the currents dragged him to the shore or whatever, you know what I mean? And that could have also been why they never recovered a body.
But just say for a second that Pamela was so loopy and out of her gourd that obviously she had homicidal tendencies. We know that from what she did to Elias.
Yeah.
Based on the comics. And I think that maybe she was just driven to madness. And her and Jason were living in a little shack in the middle of nowhere. Then whenever they went to reopen the lake or the campground, it just drove her nuts. I mean, who says that it wasn't Jason and her poisoning the water?
So you're basically telling me that she's living with Jason and seeing him presumably every day and still has it in her head that she's dead? Is that sort of what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that whenever she said, "Look what you did to him," and she's talking to Alice, she's probably just, in my opinion, maybe just calling a bluff or bluffing, saying he died and he didn't.
And that leads me to something Eric also already alluded to, which was the shack that he inhabited in part two. Now, certainly that shack could have been around, you know, for whatever purpose, dealing with the camp, you know, previously. But if you really look at it, it looks like the shack had been, you know, sort of cobbled together with, you know, materials that maybe he'd been finding around.
Almost like he repurposed it for his own thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it was just a lean-to with some extra side and a grotto that I wouldn't want in my house.
He did have a toilet, and so you got to ask yourself.
Jason got to take a shit, too. I mean, you know, he's only partially human.
You stole my thunder, motherfucker. I was going to say that. All right, so, you know, talking in line with part two, I also wanted to ask you guys about this. If Jason came back to life when his mom did, he would have presumably been around, what, 11, maybe? If he came back to life in the state that he was in when he died. Now, part two takes place 5 years, well, with the exception of the scene with Alice, it takes place 5 years after part one, which would
right.
put him at 16 years old.
Uh-huh.
Now, the Jason that we see in part two is easily in his mid-20s. Mid to late 20s, if not a little older.
Yeah, right about 32 or so.
Well, you would think that. I mean, because he's a when you finally see him and everything, he's a really big guy. You know what I'm saying? And this is after the saddest scene on earth after he yokes up Crazy Ralph. And
what's that you say?
You're going to Camp Blood, ain't you? You'll never come back again. It's got a death curse.
Every time.
But, I mean, really think about it. I mean, obviously, Jason was not a normal kid. You see it when you see him in the, you know, the flashbacks that, you know, when he drowns and everything, when you see that on screen. Obviously, he wasn't a normal kid, had like the whole mongoloid thing going. And it's entirely feasible that he could have been way bigger than an average 16-year-old. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe you're right about that, because if you look at the fight scenes, especially with him and Paul, he's very, like, it seems like there's some points where Paul could have easily overcame him.
Right.
You know, so, you know what, you make a good point with that. You make an extremely good point with that.
In a matter of days, he went from 6'1" to 6'5".
Well, it's not a matter of days. You're talking. Hey, man. I mean, hell, it happens, man. I went from after 6th to 7th grade. I went from short to not as short. I mean, shit happens, you know.
E, you're still short.
Shut your ass up. You still look but up to I'm, me.
I could see that point, kind of, but I mean, but when I was 16, I couldn't grow anything more than peach fuzz. And when he jumps through the window to grab Jenny, he's obviously got a full beard when he's unmasked and pulls him through the window.
I see your point, but when I was in middle school, well, you're talking about he's if the timeline that I said a few minutes ago is correct. He's about 16 years old. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was 16, I could grow a full beard.
Yeah, I could easily. So it's not at all unbelievable, especially in them hippie days that Jason Voorhees
get a haircut, grow a full hippie beard.
All right, ease up, Clint, ease up. But this ain't Hamburger Hill, yo. But I mean. He could. I mean, it's not at all unbelievable to think like a 16-year-old could grow a full on beard and, you know,
it's true.
Maybe snatch a human adult out of a window. I mean, that's life, yo.
Yeah, I mean that's true. I mean, because he would have been living off the land, and you know, if he at least made additions to his shack, you know, he's at least getting some kind of workout. Plus all that right. Killing, you know, that'll take a toll
all that
on
killing
on your muscles.
It definitely does. I mean, it's got to be some semblance of a workout, you know, for him to like open somebody, for him to take one swipe with a knife and open somebody up like he does. You know, obviously he's been, you know, he's at least been doing some push-ups or something. So
have you ever chopped up wood for the winter? I mean, just living off the land solely would be a pain in the ass. And not only that, it'd be a great workout every day in, day out. You'd spend each season getting ready for the next.
Exactly. It ain't like you got central heat and stuff. You got to chop that wood, yo.
Well, you know, in part two, he was wearing coveralls. So maybe he was like tending to the fields and shit.
You know what? I mean, that's a good point too. I mean, you really think about it. I mean, you can only spend so much time out of the day hunting animals. He's probably out there like growing corn and, you know, threshing wheat and shit, you know, making bread. Who knows?
You know what? That's why he was so pissed. Get off my farm, you teenage assholes.
You know, maybe that's the whole issue at that point. You know what I'm saying? Them kids keep coming on his lawn. He's not old enough to sit out there in a bathrobe and underwear at this point. So he's got overalls and a beard and shit, you know? You know what I'm saying? I mean, what else you going
to
do with them?
You got to stay prepared for every season. I mean, it sucks spending time outside like that. It just does.
Yes. That's why I'm so pasty.
Yes, I hate too.
So here's another thing, and I'm going to fast forward to the reboot that I think drives this point home, and that if you remember in the opening scene of the reboot with Alice chopping off Pamela's head, who comes by and picks up all her shit? It's a boy, Jason.
Yes, it's a boy, Jason, definitely.
So I think that the reboot does a good job of, I think it actually bolsters my thought on this, that nobody was recovered because he didn't fucking die. Jason built his own shack. Whether his mother was involved in that, I haven't made up my mind on that yet. And in this conversation, we pretty much said a 16-year-old could quite possibly have done the things that he did in part two, so that fits.
I think
so. I
from that No, what I was going to say, I think the idea of his, you know, him not drowning and his mom being involved kind of brings to mind what one of the fans was pointing out on our page, Christopher Dent. He pointed out about the whole thing about his mom having him watch while she offed everybody. And I think that concept, I don't know, it kind of takes you a different direction. And it's a really interesting direction because when you think about it, obviously Jason being in the condition he was in before the drowning or alleged drowning at Crystal Lake, you know, say for instance, he didn't drown. Maybe if he doesn't drown, you know, and his mom has him out there in the woods and everything, and she's having him tag along while she offs these kids in the first movie and he's watching, you know, that's really going to fuck him up. You know what I'm saying? If he's, you know, way more than he already is just seeing this, you know what I mean? So even after Alice kills Pamela at the end of the first movie, you know, Jason's already seen this and seeing his mom do this, that's his, you know, that's his caretaker. That's who's, you know, in his head looking out for his best interests. That's going to turn him into what we see later on in the series.
All right. So let's transition into some listener mail. Michael Reinhardt and Lila Koval basically wanted to know, well, basically said that he did drown, but Mrs. Voorhees resurrected him via witchcraft.
Ah, the supernatural aspect. We got to it.
Yeah, I know that in issue number one of Wildstorm's 2009 Freddy vs. Jason vs. Ash, it actually shows Pamela telling Jason to wake up and that he can't die, pretty much like she does in Freddy vs. Jason. But she also tells him that he has that gift because she resurrected him when he was a boy by reading from the Necronomicon.
Love the Necronomicon.
Ah, the good old Necronomicon. That played a part in at least a couple of my favorite horror movies. I'm sure some of y'all out there know the other one.
Well, you know, it's a throwback to H.P. Lovecraft.
Nerd.
You're on a fucking podcast talking about whether Jason died or not. I don't think you need to be calling me a nerd.
You know what? It's all right, man. I'm right there with you, cuz. As far as, you know, the horror genre goes, I think the idea of him, Pamela, reading from the Necronomicon to resurrect Jason, I think that is a entirely viable concept in the sense that, I don't know, kind of like I don't want to say forbidden book, but yeah, in the same way. I mean, they reference it in, they don't just reference it in Evil Dead. I mean, it's kind of like a resurrection type deal to bring up demons and such. And you think one way about it or the other, but Jason is a pretty massive demon of sorts, and that idea is not really far-fetched at all.
I don't want to buy it. It's like the first four episodes could genuinely have happened, or actually even the fifth, all the way to part five could have actually happened. And it wasn't until part six that we got into the implausible, impossible, maybe. That's one of my only beefs with part six through X, is that there's no human aspect to him at all.
Hey, so E's running a little bit short on time tonight. He's got a house full of children, so he's going to sign off now. But we got a few listener mails to get through, and then we'll be done. But yeah, take it easy, man.
Yep. See y'all on the next episode.
All right, so we lost E for the night, but that's all right. Like I said, we have a few more listener mails to get through, and I think me and Eric can handle it.
We can try. Give it our best.
All right, so Alan Holloway, on our Facebook page, he says, he did not drown. I truly think that he lost his memory from almost drowning and got lost deep in the woods until someone found him, like maybe a hermit or maybe even a witch, and raised him until he started having flashbacks about his mother in Crystal Lake. And when he finally got all his memory back, he found his way back to only to see his mother killed. That sent him into shock and rage, and that's when he went back and maybe the witch that raised him. And that's when he went back to maybe the witch that raised him, and she gave him the powers to never die and to get revenge.
If you want to go the supernatural route, I could buy into that. I mean, but I could also subscribe to the fact that Pamela barely rescues her son from drowning, and they disappear deep in the woods. And she asks him, Jason, what should we do? And he says, get him, Mommy. Kill him.
Yeah, I like that.
Kill them all. I buy into that more so than I buy into he was resurrected supernaturally from the get-go.
I don't necessarily subscribe to the supernatural, at least at this point in Jason's timeline. Obviously, later on, yeah, probably the supernatural had some intervention. But at this point, I don't think you need to resort to that. So, yeah, I mean, Alan's point is well taken. I feel like he lived apart from Pamela, and that's my opinion, just from the way she acts during part one. But, I mean, like we were talking about earlier, that could have just been a part of her mental issues that, you know, even seeing him every day, maybe she still, you know, thought of him as dead because she wanted to take out revenge on the counselors later.
Yeah.
All right. So, we also had some stuff from the Friday the 13th Facebook group. And, Stephen Evall said that Savini said that they needed an extra scare at the end because of how effective the ending of Carrie was. So first Jason was pretty much an afterthought. And this is him speaking, not me, theory is that after his mother died, he was reborn through her vengeance. Because out of all the slasher icons, the Voorhees really are the only ones with a justifiable reasoning for their actions. That's why he came out of the lake. Pamela's death gave him rebirth, and as a little retarded boy, and this is his words, not mine, because I wouldn't say retarded, who can't swim... Of course, he couldn't kill Alice until years later as a grown man. I think that a lot of Jason's motivation is because of him witnessing his mother's death. I mean, even though in some of the episodes previous, I've stated that events happen exactly the way the movies have presented them. After thinking about it, like I said, I don't think that that's the case. I don't think he died. I do not think Jason drowned as a boy in Crystal Lake. So, yeah, I think Steven is exactly right. The Voorhees do have a reason for their actions.
I do, but to label him an anti-hero, I mean, I could buy Hannibal Lecter as an anti-hero.
Maybe.
Because, well, I mean, most of the people that he killed, I mean, they did something bad. Hannibal Lecter got to you. It's kind of like Jigsaw. If Jigsaw gets to you, you're not that good of a person anyway.
That's true.
Unless you happen to get in his master plan, in the way of his master plan. And I would like to reference the movie Nell with Jodie Foster in it. She was raised in seclusion. And her speech pattern was that of a person who had a major stroke that had paralysis on their face. And so her speech pattern developed the way that her mother sounded. And the outside world around her was so foreign. So I can only imagine that that's the way that the Voorhees were. Pamela being a little less so, I mean, she had a lot of reason not to trust people after Elias beat the crap out of her. Then after the counselors nearly let her son die, screw it, we're going to go and we're going to live off the grid, as far off the grid as possible. And if you do that, you become rabid and wild.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Because had Jason not died, I could see Pamela's mental state getting even worse. Like you said, from the comic, Pamela's tale, she initially started out with mental problems that you could clearly see. And couple that with the way that Elias was treating her, and then her killing him. Yeah, you could totally see where she's off her rocker. All right, so any final thoughts before we sign off, Eric?
Well, I mean, I'm going to stick with my theory that we don't have to branch into the supernatural just yet. If anything, pure hate could potentially, in the future of the series, resurrect someone. I just don't think we have to branch out into the supernatural just yet. Let's keep him human as much as possible. He obviously feels, I mean, like in part two, when Jenny gives him a nut shot, if he were completely inhuman, he'd just look at her and stab her with a pitchfork he's chasing her with.
Yep. So let me ask you this. Going through all of this, do you think that Jason actually drowned in Crystal Lake in 1957?
No.
Yeah, I'm in total agreement with you there. I know in our fan mail episode, the You Asked, We Answered episode, I specifically said no, all events happen exactly the way they happen in the movie. But now that I've had a chance to go back and think about it, I'm in agreement with you that I do not think that Jason died in the lake, as was told by Pamela Voorhees in part one.
I concur, good sir.
All right, so you can support the show by rating us on iTunes and Stitcher. If you want to ask us a question or vindicate a theory you might have, you can contact the show by sending an email to campbudpodcast@outlook.com, or you can also text or leave us a voicemail at 757-637-0216. Until next time.
You go to Camp Blood, ain't you? You'll never come back again. It's got a death curse.
Who's that? Hello? We're doing a podcast. Shut the fuck up.